Blog Talk Radio.
You know, call me. Call me.
Jesus, draw me.
Praise the Lord. Good evening. I'm praying that I'm coming through okay.
that there's no disturbance on the line. And my name is Minister Marie Chris, and I'll be bringing a word for you tonight, and I pray that everyone is well. And so we'll get started. We'll go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for the gathering tonight. Thank you for everyone that's on the line. Father, we ask that your spirit be here with us, that it rule and guide, and that it give us edification for the word, and that it touch our heart and mind. Father, that it fills us, oh God, with the knowledge of you, and that you go, Lord, into all the areas, oh God, that we need to be touched and uplifted, and all the things, Father God, that we're in need of tonight. We pray that your spirit will go before us, that it will bring edification to the word, that it will give us strength, and that it will build us up, Father, in the places, Father, that we need to have more understanding. So we ask that you guide, even God, as I begin to do the word, let your spirit come, Father, and let me bring forth the things that you desire for the things that are needed tonight, Father. And we just thank you for this time that we're going to have together. And we thank you, Lord, for the spirit of love that will be here among us in the name of Jesus. So tonight, as we get started, I am going to make a reference back to June 8th when I first started speaking about Paul. But tonight, we're going to talk about, just briefly, death to life. And that's basically the message that I had spoke. It was speaking about Paul when he was basically killing Christians, and he was just so violent, and he was notorious, and all the things that he did against Christ and all the believers, and having them put in jail and killed, and he was just on a rampage. He was angry, and he hated Christ. And when he had that meeting, when he was outside of Damascus and he met with the Spirit of God and it changed his life, he became the bold, the most fervent in honoring God and bringing forth Christianity and preaching and teaching and in love with God. And so the very thing that had been death became life. And so as he was so outspoken against Christ, once he was delivered and once he understood and once his heart was changed, he became one of the most, one of the greatest for the kingdom of God. And so we know that his old belief changed and he had a new mindset because his heart was changed. And so for Paul, it was radical. And so when you have a radical change, you are no longer the same. Everything about you changes. And so we know the biggest hindrance that we have in anything that we do is what's going on in our mind. That is the biggest hindrance in your life. Even if you don't have the things that you need and haven't finished your education, your mindset will be your biggest downfall. And so I want to just give a scripture, and you don't have to go there, but it's Proverbs 23:7. And it fits so well because this proverb, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And it's really true because the things that you think are the things that will motivate the actions that you do. And so we know that whenever there is a mindset or a closed mind, or if you don't really understand the things of God, it takes the power of God to open your heart for you to be able to receive the word. And so I wanted to give us just one verse, because we're not going to stay on that tonight. But in Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7, I thought it spoke so well on this. And it says, and I will give them a heart to know. And I'm using the Amplified Bible. I like it because it gives a real good explanation. It says, I will give them a heart to know, to recognize, and to understand, and to be acquainted with me. This is what the Spirit of God is saying when he was speaking to Jeremiah about the people. And he says, because I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart. And so to me, that is what speaks about the change that has to take place. There's a mental understanding that comes in agreement, but there must be a change of heart. That's where it occurs. And so I'm going to briefly talk about when I spoke about a battle and a war. I was preaching about Paul in June 8th, and I was talking about the battle and that you must get in the battle, that there's the war, so to speak. And whenever we speak about battle and war, we're always thinking of fighting. And I wanted to expound on it, but the message that I brought was basically to give you information about Paul and the transformation that took place so you could see who he was as Saul and who he became as Paul. So I can't get into that message, for those that heard that message will be able to connect to this. But the one thing I want to say is that I really had wanted to say more about the battle and the war, but God just did not let me do that. He wanted you to have that background. So this is the next part of that message. And what it is, we need to understand that battle and war, what it is those are the things that are set up in the Spirit of God does the battle in the war, that we don't physically fight as Christians. If you're fighting physically against the things that are coming in your life, you're going to lose. You will never beat those things. We fight spiritually. And those are the things that our preparation does for us. So when I was saying about the battle and the war, they are real. But the angels do battle for us. And we must prepare ourselves and be actively participating in this battle. And that's our function, for us to physically know that the angels are going to move in the realm of the things that we can't do anything about, but that we're not going to physically try to go to battle with anything that goes on in our life. So I wanted to kind of emphasize battle and war. People think of the physical part of it, but ours is spiritual preparation that we must let God do in us, through us, so that we physically are not fighting, are not coming against things and being emotional and trying to make things work. We're letting the Spirit move us and letting the Spirit work out those things, even in the natural, because we know that, like Romans 4:7 tells us, we can do all things, but also that the things that are here, that are real, that are present in this life, it says we call things that are not as though they were. And those are the things that we have to learn to be able to do with the Spirit of God. And that's what God teaches us. And so when God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And so what God did is he took a physicalness, the father of many nations. There has to be a physical occurrence in our realm for this to happen. Abraham was 100 years old. He was too old in the physicalness to give birth to children, to make children. And his wife being of old age, all of those things in her body as a natural person had already stopped. It had ceased her childbearing years. And so when you hear that God is telling Abraham of a promise that he is going to be the father of many nations, you can understand Abraham and Sarah in the thought process of how in the world is that going to take place. But God calls things that are not as though they are. So he calls things into existence that don't exist out of the natural things. And we see that in the beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was God. And the Word was with God. So everything that existed came from the Word that God spoke. He didn't use anything that existed. He spoke the Word. So that is the part of that that tells us, and I use the English Standard Version when I did that to you, brought that to you. So he's calling the things that are not, and they are existing because of the Word of God having the power. So that's what we want to look at when we think of being in the battle. We see that the power of God will move in the natural to fulfill those things by calling things that are not and making them come forth. So when we see that, I'm going to take a text in a moment, we see that Jesus came and he fulfilled the prophecy of everything that was stated, every prophecy that had been already foretold about the child being born, about Jesus being crucified. All of those things were settled. All the accusations were settled. And so what was left was when Jesus ascended back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, now is the formation of the church. Jesus set those things in order before he left, and he got the disciples, and he gave them their orders. They will go to preach. And it said the main thing when in their message was to be saved, to be baptized in the name of Jesus. So to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So that was the primary physical thing that we had to do. And that's the same today. Physically, we make a movement, which is to physically, in our mind, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything after that is spiritual. It is spiritual. It comes, it teaches us, it trains us, it builds us up. And that's the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about being in the battle, we're talking about physically, in our mind, coming into agreement, professing with our mouth Jesus Christ, becoming saved, and then there's the agreement with us, with the Holy Spirit, that allows God permission to do battle. And that's where the battle angels come to assist us. There are all kinds of angels, and they come from the spirit realm, and they operate, and the permission is what we have to do when we make that agreement with God, because God needs us make the agreement with him. We give him permission when we agree with the Spirit of God, and God comes and manifests himself, the spiritual, into the natural. And it's the same thing when you talk about being healed. God takes the natural, and when he has the agreement with us, the spirit part of God comes and does a healing in the natural. Same thing when there's favor, when you know that there are things that you could not do, things that you maybe shouldn't even deserve that took place, God, in the agreement of your prayers or in the agreement of your heart, he sent the favor through the Holy Spirit, something where maybe you had prayed about something and maybe you weren't qualified for it, and the person calls you and you hadn't even went through making the application. And they said, well, I was told that you were looking for such and such, and I want you to come in for this position that I have. And you're like, wow, that's unmerited, which means you didn't deserve it, you didn't do anything to earn it, but favor through the will and the power of God, he allowed that. And I like to look at it like this. I'm in love with the part when God says, you know, that if there's one, you stand in agreement with God, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. I love that because the mathematics of God is so different. We say one and one is two. God is saying, if one will stand, it'll put 1,000. Two will put 10,000. That's definitely more than one and one is two. So I like that. But the text that we're taking tonight is coming from Acts chapter 19. And so if you'll go there with me, it's Acts chapter 19. And I'm not going to read each part of it. And I want to stop for a moment and say that if someone wants to call in, if they have questions, or if they have a prayer request, call in the numbers 347-945-5416. Press 1 to speak. And so Acts chapter 19, and I'm not going to read it word for word, but this is where Paul is at Ephesus. And he's coming to Ephesus, and before he gets there, Apollo, who is very well learned, like Paul, he had been preaching the baptism of John. And when Paul gets there, he finds that they're not quite adequate in all that they needed. But he asked them, he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since when you believed? And they said, no, we haven't heard anything about a Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to go down and I'm going to take the beginning of it from verse 5, chapter 19, verse 5. And read a little bit of it. It says, as soon as they heard this, told them about the Holy Spirit, as soon as they heard it, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so this is the part where Paul was so well equipped and he had such a knowledge because he received the Holy Spirit as they did on the day of Pentecost, and he was full of the knowledge of God. And so he was able to let them know that there's more to accepting Christ, that you now need to be baptized. And so this is the first part what I'm going to share with you. There are three types of evidence, and there's more than three, but I'm going to use three of them tonight to show you that when you are equipped and full and you have the Holy Spirit on you and working in your life, there is evidence that will show and prove that this is true. And so tonight I'm going to give you three that it says, then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with other tongues and prophesied. And at that time, there were about 12 men in all. And so this is what Paul did. He came, and he was so full of the anointing and the power of God that he laid hands on them. And it says in some of the texts, it says that the outpouring, that expression and the experience that they had, it was the same as what had come upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And we know that when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, when they had been there tarrying, waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit, that when it came in like a mighty rushing wind, that the experience was so overwhelming and powerful. And saying that when Paul laid his hands on them, the power and the anointing of God in his life was so great that the outpouring was similar to that that filled Paul and the other disciples. So the first evidence I'm going to say to you is that the evidence of the Holy Spirit being in your life proves itself. That's the first thing that it does. It proves itself. It is able to prove itself to what it is. It doesn't have to be proven through someone else. It stands up for itself, and it will prove that it's true, that you are filled with that. And so God uses the word, and when we are believers of God, he uses the teaching of the word to build us up. And we'll find a lot of times that when those that are in the midst of the word, if they don't really believe or don't understand, it's a little more sometimes for their hearts to be moved. Sometimes there is a impression made, and even maybe they begin to feel as though they need to be seen, but they won't always make that decision, because that's what has to happen. There has to be a decision made in your heart that you do need and that you do understand that you need a Savior. But always that decision isn't made, but there is an impression on their mind and heart, and there's a question maybe that comes to their mind. But sometimes for the unsaved or the ones that aren't sure, there has to be a visual. And so I think about this day when Paul laid his hands upon those new converts, anyone else that was around at the time that saw and could see the power and the anointing of God and saw the change take place in these people, sometimes that is what it takes for the visual for those that have not quite begin to understand and walk in the truth of Christ. So for the ministers, we have a duty to preach Christ in truth. And in that truth, it should be able to be proven when we speak. We should be willing to defend what we say. And there should be a boldness in the Spirit, but a boldness with the Spirit with power, so that there's an anointing that brings it in a way that's not harsh. So we're going to go to verse 21. Well, no, wait a minute. Yeah, so we're going to go to verse 11, okay? And it says that God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. And with Paul, it said they took handkerchiefs, aprons, and they said that he had merely things with his skin, that barely it had touched him. And when he placed these on the sick people, they were healed of disease, and even evil spirits came out of people. Now, that's an anointing when you say that the cloth of things that touched your body went on to touch others, and they were actually healed. So it is an evidence that proves itself. It stands, and it comes forth. And so when we see these things, We know that the power of God is real. And even those that may not have given their life to Christ begin to wonder, and it makes a reasoning in their mind. And that's why it's important that we walk in the Spirit of God, so that the agreement that we have with the Spirit of God can use us not only to the building of those that love the Lord, but hopefully saving of the souls, because the whole work of the ministry is for the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to go a little further, and we're going to briefly touch on a fundamental truth that was going on at the time. In this area, or all over, the occult was heavy, because in the region, there were all these different gods. They had many gods, and they gave sacrifice to these gods. There was sorcery going on. They had exorcists. They had magic that went on, and soothsayers, and horoscope, and they had all sorts of things, of practices that they did. And so at this particular time, if we go to verse 13, we know that there's a group of Jews, and they were traveling through, and they were casting out demons. And it even tells us that they were to the point where they would say things like, in the name of the Lord, but they would say it, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Because they saw what the disciples did, and they thought, well, if I say it in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, that it would work, but it did not work. And so there was once an occasion when they went to a man that was full of a devil, and they tried to cast him out, and it says the evil spirit replied and said, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you? And that spirit within that man caused the man to jump on them. So we know that there was a lot of occult type heavy in the region. And I'm going to give you three scriptures, and you can look them up, because I'm not going to take the time to like really look them up. It'll kind of make us go to another way with this, but I want you to have these. It's Leviticus 19 and 26, and I'm just going to tell you that in the Old Testament, and it kind of overshadows eating things with blood, and it talks about a few other things. And Leviticus 19:31, it tells you not to turn into those type of things, not to practice these things, to stay away from them. And then in Deuteronomy 18, chapter 18, verse 9 through 12, it also gives you some other things that were told about all of the occult activity that goes on. But the one that I'm going to speak on just for a moment is Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. In the Amplified Bible, I'm just going to give you a little bit of what it says. This scripture tells you that the practices of magical art is a part of the occult. And if you go to the King James Version of the Bible, for Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it uses the word sorcerer. So all of these mingled type things, horoscope, soothsayers, readers of time, tellers of time, all of these things are not biblical. They are of the occult. They are of demonic. They are of the evil spirit. They are a spirit, but they are not a spirit of God, and it wars against God. So you have to be careful, because if you get yourself involved in these types of things, you open up yourself and your families to these demonic spirits that are real, and they come and try to attach themselves. So before I move on, I'm going to say again, if you need to call in, if you have questions or a prayer request, please call 347-945-5416 and press number 1. That will allow you to speak. And so now that we've established that we're in Acts chapter 19, I'm going to go to verse 23. And verse 23 will get a little more into what's going on in this setting, where Paul is. And just as we were finishing that part, Paul said, I felt compelled by the Spirit, I must go to Rome. And I'm saying that because this is the first time you'll hear Paul say this. He's saying, after all of this with the demonic and the cult and all of this stuff, he felt compelled by the Spirit that he needed to go on and leave this place, and that he needs to go to Rome. but there was a already predestined by God that he would go to Rome, because he needed to go to Rome because this is where the officials were, and this is where Paul needed to go so that he could also bring about the Christianity, speaking about Christ, because he was bold and he had no problem, even with authority, to say the name of Jesus, what God had ordained for him to go to Rome. And so in his own mind, the Spirit put an impression in him, and he spoke out and said, I must go to Rome. And so in we go to verse 23, and at this time, there was a lot of things going on. I don't know if you can hear that noise, but
yes, that's when someone called in for prayer.
Okay.
You're live.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Hello? I can wait until
yes.
you finish.
Okay, you'll stay online?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we're at verse 23. We're in Acts chapter 19, verse 23. And at this time, I'm not going to always read everything about it, but I'm going to tell you that this was at a time when there was a lot of occult activity going on. But the one thing about the area is that there's a Greek goddess, and her name is Diana. And Diana was being reverenced. She was in the temple, and Demetrius is a silversmith in the region that had a very large manufacturing, we'll call it a business. And so in his business, he employed other people. So they made silver shrines and stuff to the Greek goddess, and she was in the temple, and this was a way of making money. And they made lots of money because the people worshiped Diana. They worshiped and went to the temple, and they bought the trinkets and the silver things and brought these things into their homes. That's how much the occult was, and because they had gods that they worshiped. And so what I'm going to tell you now is that the second evidence, when you have the Spirit of God working in your life, when the Holy Spirit is evident in your life, the second evidence that I'm going to give you, there is no way that you're going to be trying to do the things of God and think you won't have upset. There's going to be upset in your life because there's going to be spirits that are very, very upset over the fact that you're ushering in the kingdom of God. So that's the second evidence. And so we're going to see this coming up now. So he employed craftsmen that made these things for him. So when this was going on with Paul being so vocal and talking about Jesus and them having heard how he had laid hands on people and devils had come out. Now they are working their things through sorcery, witchcraft. They're doing foretellings of future, and people are coming and they're making money off of this. And now here comes Paul talking about in the name of Jesus, and you can be delivered from this stuff. You can be delivered and healing and stuff. And they're like, well, who is this that he's talking about Jesus? So there's an upset. So he got together, Demetrius did, and brought a lot of people together. And he started telling them, don't you know that this is a problem? Because this is where the wealth comes from. It was a very wealthy place. And he let them know that this is a problem. This could mess up our business. He said, and not only in Ephesus, this is where they were, but in the entire province. Because there's a whole continent of Asia that all of these things they make are sold. And this is a religious type thing, so it is widespread. And that this will stop our money, and it will be spread through the whole province, and we'll lose respect because they won't any longer believe what we say. They said Diana might lose her influence, and these are temples, and she's like a god that is set up in the temple, and she's worshipped. And so this was a problem, and so they started saying, you know, this Paul, he's going to rob us from our prestige. And so the one thing I think that infuriated them is when you go down into the text. Now, this is Paul because he's always, always been very, very vocal. He told them handmade gods aren't really gods at all. And he said this out in front of people. Even the people that had authority heard him say this. He told them, he said handmade gods aren't really gods at all. And so some of the people heard this. They saw the healings that he did. They saw the things that were done as they were baptized, I'm sure there's people they knew, and they saw the change in their life, and they began to wonder about this Jesus. So I want to tell you that when we talk about battle, I keep saying the biggest battle, it is not the physical. The biggest battle you're going to have is in your mind, because it's the battle of what you choose to believe. So you have got to say, and you have got to determine for yourself that no matter what, no matter what it looks like, no matter what happens, no matter what circumstance come in your life, that you are going to stay rooted and grounded in Jesus. That's the biggest battle, because that's where the enemy is going to come in. He's going to take the things that are true and make you wonder if God is going to move in your circumstance. And because things come up, we get sick, we lose jobs, marriages fail, children become disobedient. A lot of things happen. He takes the truth and then says, oh, I thought God loved you. And you say, oh, you know what, that did happen. Maybe God don't love me. Let's get it straight so we understand that we live in a world that's fallen and things will happen. Yes, it's true. But God loves you yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And these things that occur have nothing to do with God not loving you. But these are the things that the enemy will bring, and he'll dictate these to you. So you have to know in yourself that even as these people had to make a change in their mind, because their mindset had been looking at the Diana as the goddess and making atonement to her for the things that they thought would make their life better, the whole city had a zeal, but it wasn't of God. So you've got to know that however you perceive things are going to dictate what you do. So that's why the word of God is important for you to hear it, to get it in your heart. Because Proverbs 23:7 tells us, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And it's true, because the things that you think, that you believe, will be what makes you move and do the things that you do. So you've got to get it in your heart to know that the word of God is true, and that is true when you're sick, it's true when you're well, it's true when you're full of money, and it's true when you're in a lacking. Those things are things of this life that happen because we're in a real world, but it does not dictate the love of God. It does not change the fact that God will still move and do things on your behalf, and that even if things don't change right away, that God always has a plan, that he will bring about a change, that if he doesn't change it, he will bring you through it, he will make you stronger, and he will help you be able to weather whatever storm. So we know that there was deep superstition and witchcraft, and that the men made much wealth from the occult, that also had people bound to buying trinkets and going into the temple and worshiping the goddess Diana. And so we know that one of the things that happens when an upset comes, the gospel calls men from unlawful wealth. Oh, yes, the gospel of God, if it comes and speaks to the heart of anyone that is in a business practice or in a way of getting things ungainfully, it will cause an upset. And so that is what happens. And a change that's evident in the lives of people. And so when we looked at Acts 19, we're now going to go to chapter 23, Acts chapter 23, and we start with verse 11. And I'm going to actually read this verse. I love this verse. Acts 23:11. And this is where we see the next thing that I'm going to tell you about. It says, verse 11, that night the Lord appeared to Paul and said, be encouraged, Paul, just as you have been a witness to me here in Jerusalem, you must preach the good news in Rome as well. A little earlier back, I told you that after all the upset and the things that happened, Paul had a feeling within him, and the Spirit spoke and told him that, and he said out loud, I must go to Rome. I must go to Rome. So that was the first indication of the Spirit speaking in Paul's life. But here we see not the Spirit speaking, but that the Lord appeared to Paul in the night, physically appeared to him, encouraging Paul from all that he already had dealt with. I'm sure there was time when he was just discouraged. But But Paul was determined that he was going to continue, that he was going to preach the word, and the Spirit had put in his heart that I must go to Rome. And he knows going to Rome also meant that there would be trouble, going to where there is authority. And you're going to authority speaking against what they believe, and there is occult activity, money being made, and you're coming in talking about that it's not true, that gods you make have no power, they're not gods. And so you know that they're going to cause trouble. But he's bold and he's willing to go. And so God came and sent a comfort to him that night to be encouraged, Paul, but to tell him so that there was edification. Because anything God does, he confirms. And he confirmed that spirit that Paul had earlier in the day about going to Rome and told him, you must go. And that was enough for Paul to go ahead in that mission and go ahead and make that step. And so in his encouragement, it was the second commission for him to go. Because in the first statement, it was an act of feeling that came upon him through the Spirit of God. And that was an uncommon protection that was going to be set up for him, which is going to be the next evidence that I'm going to show you. When there is a working of the Holy Spirit, sometimes the upset that will come up for life will be uncommon because the protection that you need will be out of the ordinary. And so it will also come forth as an evidence. Uncommon protection will come in the event of things in your life when God is with you and the Spirit of God is working in your life. Now, the confirmation of this is going to come forth, and it's in Acts 23:11, and we're going to go and read 12. It said, the next morning, a group of Jews, now see, this happened at night, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of times God comes in, when he does his revealing and speaking, I'm going to tell you, a lot of times he comes in the night. We talk about in the midnight hours, he's going to turn it around. A lot of times God does come, his Spirit will come at different hours, but he'll come at the night. And it's a beautiful thing because when he ministers to you at the night, in those times of quietness and slumber, it's a revealing and a definite blessing to your heart because it gives you strength. It gives you strength. And so in verse 12, it said, the next morning, see, the blessing of confirmation in the night, and look what stirred up in the morning. In the morning, a group of Jews got together, and it says that they bound themselves with an oath that they would not eat or drink until they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 of them in the conspiracy together. And it says they went to the priests and elders and told them, we have bound ourselves with an oath to eat nothing until we have killed Paul. So you and the high council should ask the commander to bring Paul back to the council once again. The tent will his case more fully, and we will kill him on the way. But see, there was an intervening of Paul's nephew, and I'm going to go down a little further where the nephew went, and he let them know, those in authority, what the Jews were going to do to have him brought into the council again. And listen what happened. In verse 23 of that chapter, then the commander called, and this is the one in charge of Paul, that is the one that is to keep him bound and in prison, but to keep him safe so that he can be brought up for a hearing. It says, then the commander called two of his officers and ordered, and listen what they do, get 200 soldiers ready to leave for Caesarea at 9 o'clock tonight, that night. Also take 200 spearmen, 270 mounted troops, provide horses for Paul to ride, and get him safely to Governor Felix. Then he wrote a letter to the governor, and he said, from Claudius Lysias to His Excellency Governor Felix, he said, greeting, this man was seized by some Jews, and they were about to kill him. When I arrived, now he's making it so, he said, when I learned that he was a Roman citizen, I removed him to safety. Then I took him to high council to try to learn the basis of the accusations against him. I soon discovered the charge was something regarding their religious law. Certainly not, I immediately sent him to you. to bring it before you. It said, so that night as ordered, the soldiers took Paul as far as Antipatris. They returned to the fortress the next morning, while the mounted troops, these are experts, these are the king's men, mounted troops took him onto Sisera. It says, when they arrived in Sisera, they presented Paul and the letter to the governor Felix. And I'm just telling you, if you see the care and the protection that was given to Paul, and Paul is being sent to Rome because Paul is being accused because he is speaking the name Jesus and he's causing an upset with his name Jesus. He's healing people in the name of Jesus. He's casting out demons in the name of Jesus. And he's also has spoken against all of the temple worship gods and goddesses and all of these man-made gods that he says aren't gods, and there's an uproar about it. And so he's going to Rome not as one being welcome, but one being accused that's going to be judged to be put to death. And because the supreme protection of Almighty God brings about uncommon protection over his life, he is guarded as though he was a king. 200 soldiers, 200 spearmen, and 70 mounted troops to bring this accused man to Felix in Rome. That is uncommon protection, only by the hands of God Almighty. So that is the third evidence that I wanted to say to you. And say to you, I in doing this part of the lesson, God had given me the whole lesson, but would only let me do a part of it on June 8th when I did the first part of Saul being changed to Paul on his road to Damascus. That portion of it brought us to this part when Paul, now being Paul, doing all a lot of the things that God had commissioned him because he was so mighty in him establishing Christianity, which is what we have today. It was Paul that was so fervent in the gospel and so bold in the gospel and so willing to die for the gospel, which he did. But I'm saying that because of it, today we have the ability to understand the kingdom of God, to understand that the agreement that we must have in the spirit with God for God to move in the natural sense. And so that is our part of our duty. We're not going to fight a physical war, but we must be prepared. We must let God let go of the things in our life, burn off of us the things that are not of God, the attitudes, the thoughts, the actions that we do. And so that's where we prepare so that God can usher in the kingdom of God while he uses us and the Spirit of God in us to bring about those things that are not as though they are, to bring about those things that are not seen, that can become visible, that are ushered in by the power of God. So I want to say this to you. I was laughing to myself as I saw God bring this together. I said, you know, the whole time, because I love Paul and I love David and I studied them a lot because I see the uniqueness of them and I see how they were powerful to God using them in their life, radical for God, and how they did anything for the kingdom of God. And I thought about Romans 8:38, and I said, I'm going to end with this scripture. I love it because I can hear Paul as he made the statement. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I pray that tonight, for the things that I've shared, for the Spirit of God that I know is among us, that you will adopt that as your mantra, that you will look at that you will let that persuade you in your life, that you'll let God line up the things in life, get rid of the things in your life that's not pleasing to him, that you'll let the Spirit of God burn those things off, that you'll let the Spirit of God be that Spirit that guides you and leads you and builds you up and teaches you and shows you and brings forth those understanding and the wisdom of God, so that we can all come together and we can come in unity to usher in the kingdom of God, because that is what's happening at this time in this day. It was brought forth through Jesus so that the Holy Ghost, when he left, could come and reside and teach us all things, that it would be that power of the Word of God, the Spirit of God residing in us to move us to do the things that prepares for the coming of God, so that the kingdom of God can be here on earth, that the power of God will work in our lives, that there's healing. Those things weren't for then, therefore now as well, that healings and demonic strongholds will be broken, and that there'll be a building up and a bringing forth of knowledge and wisdom and understanding and help. And so I pray that you were blessed tonight. I pray that your spirit was uplifted. And if there's someone that needs to call in or has a question or prayer, please call 347-945-5416 and press 1 to speak. And so at this time, there was someone that came online, and I'm going to open it so that if there's a prayer or a request that you have, please feel free to speak. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, yes.
Go in there. I'm calling in for prayer. This is Precious.
Okay. Yes, I was going to say, this is my cousin. Praise God. Okay.
Lord, calling in, there's something that I need directions on from God.
Okay.
I need to know the right choice and the right move to make.
Okay. All right. And like I've always told people, you do not have to speak all there is, but I know that God in his spirit, he is aware of everything that we need. The Bible tells us that before the foundation of the world, we were with God. And that before we were knitted together in the womb, God had called us by name. So, Father God, we come tonight, and I believe if there are those that know Christ, that are believers, that are born again, that are surely full of the Holy Ghost, will agree, and we touch tonight coming together. Father, we come and we say to whatever it is that's going on in her life, Father, we say that by the command of God, that we can speak and we can ask, Father, that you would come, Lord, and intervene in her life, Father, to give her wisdom, wisdom that comes from you, Father God, that she can separate out the things, Father, that she needs to do, that she will have wisdom and understanding, Father, of what you have designed for her life, Father, that she will look at the situation and that she will now apply the word of God, Father, that the word of God will cover whatever it is that's going on in her life, that the decision that she has to make, Father God, you will give her an unction in her spirit. Father God, as she lays before you, Father God, seeking your guidance, seeking your understanding, Father God, seeking, Father, a word from you, Father, that will let her know without a shadow of a doubt what your word and what your mind is, Father. So when we seek the mind of God, we come, Lord God, and we humble ourselves before you. Father God, let her take everything, whatever it is might be in her mind, whatever it is might be in her heart, whatever it might be in her emotions, and let her lay it to you, Father. We said, Father God, because the heart, Father God, has its own mind. But, Father, we're going to come and we're going to ask the Spirit of God that it come and that it rule, Father God, in all the areas of her life, Father, wherever there is a question, wherever there is a doubt, wherever there is a hurt, wherever there is a need, wherever there is a misunderstanding, wherever, Father God, there is a lacking, Father, we ask that the Spirit of God come and overshadow, Father God, that it open up, oh God, so that when she begins to look at the situation, she will know what the mind of God would say. Father God, we ask that you come upon her, oh Father God, that you give us strength, Father, that you raise her up, Lord, Father, that you send your word, Father God, in the wee hours of the night, Father, when she might turn over in her sleep, Father God, that the unction of God, Father God, will be there as a sweet spirit, Father, that it'll minister to our heart, minister to our mind, give a revelation, Father God, settle the issue, Father God, whatever it might be. Father, we know, Father, for the word of God is powerful, Father. We know that it's sharper than a two-edged sword, Father God, that it will divide asunder, Father God, situation, and Father God, that we deal with in a natural realm. Father, we call the Spirit of God to come forth, Lord God. Have your way, Father. Rule and reign, Father God, in our life. Tear down everything, Father God, that's not of you. Everything, Father God, that won't call you King, King and Lord of Lords. Everything, Father God, that will not bow to your name. Everything, Father God, that has set up its own place, Father. Everything that has done its own course, Father God. Oh, God, give us strength, Father God. Bind, Father God, everything that might come. Any lie that might have said, oh God, anything that might have come up that wasn't of a truth, Father, anything that was of imagination, oh God, that came from the pits of hell, we just say, oh God, that tonight that it is cursed, Father God, that it will be bound, Father God. Father God, we say that it will be consumed, oh Father. We're not going to say in destruction, but we're going to say sent to hellfire, Father God, bound, oh God. And as we bind it, we release, Father God, those things that are of you, Father, those things that have the anointing of God, those things that have power, Father, those things that will call what's not as though it was, those things that will give her peace, Father, those things that will give her joy, those things that will give her strength and understanding. Father God, we call those things forth, Father. You said, Lord, that if you come together, oh God, in agreement, and when you're asking prayer, believing, you said that you shall have it, Father, oh God, so we come tonight, Father God, and we know that you are a God of your word, oh God, that you are a God of substance, Lord, so we, oh God, know that as we look out on this, Father, that there will be a change, Father God, that all those things that would come against you, Father, cannot stand, Father, that they will be torn down, that they will not go forth, God, that even as tomorrow when she begins to wake up, God, as she begins to get up and get ready for the day, we say that the will of God shall come forth in our life, that the will of God shall stand forth and be true, and that everything, Father God, that might have been spoken, every word that might have been said, and every letter that would have the word, Father God, did not come from you, shall not stand. It shall be back and shall be put to the pits of hell. It shall be burnt with fire and damnation. It shall not come forth. It shall not stand. That she will feel the anointing of God, that it will bathe her and it will soothe her. Oh God, it'll give a peace of mind, Father God. It'll stand, God, and that she'll speak the word, oh God, over those things in her life. Father, she'll call those things that are not as though they were. Father God, she won't run and hide. She'll have a boldness, oh God, and that she'll speak those things, Father God, and that the word of God will come forth and it will minister to her, Father God, even as she sleeps, Lord God. Let it go forth, oh God, and let it go into her spirit. Oh God, let her wake fresh in the morning. Let her be renewed in her mind, Father God, and those things of you, for he has called us, oh God, unto righteousness and God, that are not of you. We say that those things we will not have, they will not come forth, they will not have a function, they will not set up a temple, they will not set up a place. Father God, we denounce it, and we say that we are the kingdom of God, and those things of God shall come forth, and they shall speak, and they shall show, and they shall not run and hide. Oh, Father God, give her a boldness. Whatever it is, oh God, that has been spoken against her, whatever it is, oh God, that has done a snare in her life, Father God, we rebuke it tonight in the name, and it shall not continue in the course that it is, Father God, and we believe your word to be true, Father God, and we're going to take you at your word, and we expect to have a report, Father God, for the things of God, for the things that are not of God are going to have to move. They cannot stay. They are not allowed. They are not welcome, and you must loose from her life. You must loose from her money. You must loose. Yeah. Oh, Father God, we thank you. We give you worship and we give you praise, for we know that you're God all by yourself and that you cause those things that are not to be so.
Father God, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you worship, oh God, because you are God all by yourself. Father, we thank you tonight. Cover her, Lord, oh God. Even as she disconnects from this, Lord, let her know that she's not alone. For the word of God is truth and it has power. It shall come forth and it shall manifest itself. And the it may have been, whatever it is that even has got you in a state of mind, it shall not come forth. It is dead. It shall die. It shall not take root. It shall not spring forth. And it shall not be birthed. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you praise and glory for God all by himself. Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you tonight, Lord. Oh, we thank you. We magnify your name. Hallelujah to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah to your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You speak to that thing. Hallelujah. For we don't run and we don't hide. Hallelujah. We speak what the word of God is, and we claim the kingdom of God. For those things that are not shall be, and they shall come forth. Hallelujah. There shall be a change. You will see a change. There will be a change. We're not running and we're not hiding. Hallelujah in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
yes,
Lord.
Lord. It's going to be all right, whatever it is, because we serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. We serve
Amen.
A God of everything, and there's nothing in this universe that is not in the control of God. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We praise your mighty name, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. It shall. It shall speak. It shall speak. I promise you it shall speak because God is God. Oh, Lord,
Amen.
We thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
If there's anybody else that needs prayer, if there's anyone that has something they'd like to say, the floor is open and you can speak. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay, so if there is no one, I want to make sure that we open the floor at this time, and if there's anyone that does not know Christ in the forgiveness of their sins, if there's anyone who needs to rededicate their life, if there's anyone that needs to have the power of God spoken over their life. If there's a situation that just seems that it will not bow, oh, my God, if tonight you feel you need prayer for anything or anybody, now is the time that you can come forth. We would pray as a body of Christ here together in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. And so if there's nothing else and all hearts are settled and all minds are clear at this time, I'm just going to pray and close us out. But I'm going to say I thank you all for who have come on. I thank you
thank
for
you,
the
Jesus.
Time that you've taken. Did someone say something? I thank you for the time that you've taken to come, to listen, and I pray that you've been blessed. I pray that the will of God for your life will go forth, and I pray that there's something in the word that will be there in a time of need or that you'll recall that will bless your life or that you can even speak to someone else's life. I pray that there's something that you did gain from being here tonight, and I thank you.
Thank you.
So, Father God, as we come together, Father, just thanking you for this time, thanking you for your word, Father, thanking you for your spirit, Father, thanking you for your love that you've shown, thanking you, Father God, that you've given us life and breath, thanking you, Father God, for the unity, Father, thanking you, Lord God, that you've made ways out of no way, thanking you, Lord God, that your hand has been upon our lives and upon our family, Lord, thanking you that you've covered us, Lord, even when we've fallen short, Father. May not have done all the things that you said, Lord, but that you've made ways, Father God, and you've held us up, Lord God, and you sent your word before us, oh God, and the Spirit covered us, oh God. We thank you tonight, Lord God. And we ask, Father God, that you raise us up, oh God, and that you get rid of everything in us, oh God, that's not pleasing to you, Lord God, and that you set your love upon us, oh God, and that we begin to understand, begin to have a desire, oh God, in us, oh God, that we want to please you, Lord God, that we want you to have your way, Father. Oh, God, and
yes,
you rebuke
yes,
the things, oh, God, that are not from you, and we rebuke the devourer,
yes,
Father God, that he have no way to come in among us, oh, God, and cause all the upset and hurt and pain and sorrow, Father God, that you help us, oh, God, bind together, oh, God, and that we love one another, Father, that we come unto you, Lord God, so that you can
yes,
teach us and train us
yes,
and build us up, oh, God, to make us more like you, God, that we can be a help and a love to one another, oh, God, bind us
yes,
together, oh, God, in a love, oh, God, that's overshadowed, oh, God, everything that could be. Oh, God, come, oh, God, and heal us, Lord, and deliver us, oh, God, and set us free, oh, God. Have your way in our life, Lord God. Let us go forth into our families, oh, God, and be a blessing, oh, Lord God, that you'll be pleased, Father God, and bring us together once again, oh, God, that your word will come forth, oh, God. Build that foundation in us, oh, God, that steady and true, oh, God, that we'll love you, oh, God, and that we'll sell off everything, Father God, that we'll not call you King of Kings, that we'll not bow to your name, oh, God. Oh, Lord, we just thank you and praise you tonight. We thank you, Lord,
thank
for
you,
your
God.
Love and your peace, oh, God. Oh, God, go with us as we close out, oh, God, into our homes. Help us, oh, God, bind us together. Give us strength, oh, God. Let your spirit, oh, God, be among us, oh, God. Oh, Father, that we give you praise and that we give you glory and that we give you honor. Oh, for your God all by yourself, Lord. We just thank you tonight. We thank you
thank
for your
you.
Love, oh, God. We thank you for this
thank
program
you.
And for the ability that we have to reach out to one another. Oh, God, we thank you, oh, God, and we want to give you glory, Father. So tonight, as we lay down to sleep, God, minister to our heart, minister to our mind,
yes.
Oh, God, and let us wake tomorrow, oh, God, refreshed in the spirit, stronger, oh, God,
mm-hmm.
and let there be that unction that I am persuaded that neither, nothing, oh, God, nothing, oh, God, would come between us, nothing, not life or death or nothing, oh, God, nor the angels or principalities, oh, God. When we think about the things past, present, or things to come, that it'll separate us, oh, God. Nothing in this life, oh, God, would be worth you. So, Lord, let us go tonight and let us all bow down our heads and let's be thankful, oh, God, for this time that we've had
mm-hmm.
together. Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor,
mm-hmm.
oh, God, for you being God all by yourself. We ask in the powerful and the blessed name of Jesus, go before us, Lord God, and make a way. Oh, God, and that we heed to your call and to your will.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We just thank you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify mm-hmm. your name. God, bless all of you. Bless your homes. Oh, God, comfort and guide them, oh, God, and be with them. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you, Lord. Thank you.
Yes,
thank
Jesus.
You,
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Good night. Everyone be blessed. And prayerfully, when we have this again, you'll come. In the name of Jesus.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Let it be real. Yeah.